What up, y'all? Welcome to the UX and Marketing Podcast. On this episode, I'm in studio alone talking the new Tesla 3 and the amazing marketing behind it, but how the UX may have come up a little short. Welcome. It is great to be back. Great to be here talking to all of you. It's your man, Josh Udall, back on the mic in the studio, talking some marketing, talking some user experience, talking some, let's talk some tech, why don't we? Well, I thought we'd figure out, you know, why don't we talk a little bit about the news of the week, shall we? Obviously, the big one that everyone's been kind of, well, not everyone, but a good chunk of people have been talking about is the Twitter's idea of trying to expand the character amount in tweets, which a lot of people are, some people are a little happy. Most people are thinking it's a little foolish. You know, what's the point of expanding from 140 to 280 when the users have been asking for something like edit a tweet forever in a day? It's been actually really funny just kind of going on Twitter and seeing a lot of the outrage of different designers and different other professionals, and as well as marketers who are just kind of like, why are we going with this? You know, why are we doubling the character amount? You know, I guess it's cool, maybe, but the benefit of Twitter is that every thought is concise. And, you know, the issue of not being able to tweet much was solved with, you know, being able to expand on tweets in terms of responding to your tweets and creating a tree of sorts. So people are a little confused by that. But that was that's kind of the big mega thing to start off the week. Secondly, this comes as a shocker to myself as a millennial who grew up going to the store and it was always an amazing event of my weekend when my parents would take me to this place, but toys are stinking us. What happened? Going bankrupt? Wow. When I heard that news, I was personally shocked. You know, I was sitting on the couch with my wife. We were chatting. I was just scrolling through Twitter and bam, Toys R Us bankrupt. I was like, bruh, are you kidding me? You know, it was kind of a sad day for me personally because I was like, man, I grew up so much on, you know, going to Toys R Us. It was always a huge event. It was exciting. Great to be able to go and be able to see all the toys, touch them, to play with them. You know, it was essentially like it was a playland of sorts. And, you know, especially growing up in a family, you know, that my parents didn't have a whole lot of money, you know, the dream of going to these stores and dreaming of being able to have these toys was, well, that's all it was a dream. And it was great to be able to play on my six-year-old fantasies as a kid, hoping that I could have the whole store. So it was a little sad hearing that they are going to be bankrupt and looks like they'll be going under, you know, but I guess it plays in the idea of, you know, you better be innovating or you will die. And Toys R Us, you know, that they just relied on the same tried and true thing over and over again until it wasn't tried and true anymore. And lo and behold, there they go, making, you know, a man who's now 25 years old sad because, you know, I grew up on Toys R Us. We enjoyed everything they offered. And yeah, so be it. But as well, thirdly, talking some news is Amazon releasing some new products this week, which is fantastic. But the Echo Spot and Echo Plus and a plethora of other products have been released. The Echo Plus is very interesting, whereas they kind of expanded on the original Amazon Echo and, you know, its functionality, making it more of a smart home hub to be able to kind of have all your devices connected into it. But the one thing I really wanted to talk more about was the Echo Spot in the news this week. You know, it's essentially it's a little thing about, you know, a little bit bigger than an Echo Dot, but this one has an actual LCD display on it, or LED, whatever you want to call it. There's a screen display on the thing that, you know, will sit on your bedside table and kind of act as an alarm of sorts with, you know, your to-dos and videos and things of that nature actually being able to be on it. The weird thing about this that actually may be a little disturbing to some people is the fact that it has a camera on it, and you'll be actually a video call off these things. But I can only do it so much justice. I'm actually going to play a little clip. Casey from The Verge was actually in Seattle for the announcement, and he did a great job of explaining what the Echo Spot really is.
Hey guys, it's Casey with The Verge. I'm here at Amazon headquarters in Seattle, where they just introduced a ton of new hardware. And our favorite thing they showed up today might be this. This is the Echo Spot. Imagine if the Echo Show and an Echo Dot had a baby. It might look like this, a tiny alarm clock with a 2.5-inch screen that is Alexa enabled. What does that mean? Well, it can do something that a lot of Alexa-enabled devices can do, which is control your smart home. It can also play music. It also has a front-facing camera. That means you can use it to make free video calls. And by the way, starting today, you can now use Alexa to make free video calls to anywhere in the United States, Canada, and Mexico. But this device is part of Amazon's strategy to bring Alexa absolutely everywhere. This thing is gonna go on sale today for pre-order, and then we'll start shipping in December, and it will cost you $130. Amazon thinks that people are gonna get a number of these for their homes. Maybe put one on your desk, one in the kitchen, one in the bedroom. That's certainly where I plan on putting mine. It's part of their strategy of bringing Alexa absolutely everywhere. And so while Amazon showed off a ton of things today, this one, well, it might just be the one we think is the most interesting.
Well, so that is the Echo Spot, which again is a very intriguing little device that was released. And again, the idea of, as Casey was saying, trying to bring it into, you know, other parts of the home, really trying to bring Alexa throughout the whole home is the goal. Won't be coming into my home, sadly, because, well, my wife is terrified enough of the Echo Dot, let alone having an Echo Spot that would actually be in our room, because she's like, the Echo is not coming into our room. And so let alone have an Echo Spot in our room that not only has a mic on it, but also has a camera, well, you know, doesn't exactly sit well with my wife. So as much as I'm excited and intrigued by this announcement, sadly, I don't think I'll be experiencing much of it. But that is the Echo Spot and the Echo Plus. But that marks the end of our Newsweek segment. When we come back, we'll be talking Tesla. Tesla. We're here to talk some Tesla today. And we're going to look at some, you know, different aspects of how Tesla's done some great work, especially when it comes to their marketing. Especially comes the design of their cars. But we're also going to kind of talk about how it seems like, you know, throughout the process of the really trying to galvanize and get customers near the towards the end of their customer journey, it seems that things tend to fall apart. But we'll start with the marketing. Elon Musk and his crew at Tesla have really gone an interesting route when it comes to the marketing of their products, or shall I say, their future products. They've taken the inbound marketing route and simply pitched their product via social channels, allowing for their followers to take it the rest of the way. When it comes to Tesla's marketing budget, it pales in comparison to the competition in the car industry. In the year 2016, Ford spent a little over $4 billion on marketing. GM spent a little over $5 billion. And then you got Tesla. Spent a mere $48 million on marketing. Yet, Tesla is the only company that is able to tell their future customers, give us an $1,000 deposit. And we won't tell you how much it will cost, but it will be available to you in 2 years, but it'll be an amazing product and you're going to love it. GM and Ford are forced to give an actual deliverable to be able to get those sales. They're investing that money. Tesla invested $48 million, and they're just giving their customers a promise of a great car that they'll see in about a couple of years. Only Elon Musk can pull that one off, right? Inbound marketing at its absolute finest. When it comes to the inbound marketing game, they executed the playbook beautifully. Tesla did a great job of pitching their product and then letting their future customers get excited and share that excitement with others. Not going to lie, to get $500,000 in pre-orders on a promise is good marketing in my books. I find it interesting that there are still skeptics of the inbound marketing tactic. And I just have to ask, why? Is it the unknown of not exploring social media fully? Is it comfortable and less work just to throw money at a banner ad? Or is it your customer base hasn't totally bought into social? For those who are only doing outbound marketing, I hope your excuse is the latter. Because if it's not, you are really missing out on a big opportunity, as Tesla has demonstrated in their marketing strategy. Obviously, to those who know Tesla, they do more than just sell cars. They are a company built on the very idea that they'll be the next most innovative company in the world. The company of the future. A future where the world runs on solar electricity, which powers cars and powers whole homes. They are the gateway company to doing that, is what they're trying to pitch themselves as. Tesla also have a solar power division, where they're in the midst of trying to release their solar shingle, which is accompanied by what they call a power wall battery, to store up a day's worth of electricity for major appliances. The message they have crafted to their future consumers is simple, that they are the way to a more sustainable future. They have cool products and a perceived roadmap of how they're going to be that company. They've also taken the stance that you will be missing out if you do not hop on board with them. That is a big reason why they've seen a large amount of success with relative low deliverables for their customers. They've done a good job crafting their message that they're on the cusp of doing something so incredibly brilliant that they pry on what the kids call FOMO, the fear of missing out. Thus, the relatively successful numbers they have been seeing, all due to great inbound marketing and crafting a clear and concise message of what they are about and why you should care. Let's get real. To those who have seen the recently released Tesla 3s, they are nice looking cars. They aren't the most luxurious you'll ever see, but they're also not an everyday car in terms of the look. They have that sports car feel to them, and from the recently released video of a Tesla 3 coming to Texas, they also seem to be pretty spacious and comfortable. I have to say, they are a nice looking car, and based off that hype that has been made of Tesla cars, they are pretty nice for a company who is pretty new to the automobile industry. And their products do live up to the hype, at least in terms of look and feel. From the review, the self-driving aspect is working pretty well. The bare bones functions of the car, from steering to acceleration, etc., are good for an electric car. It can go up to 250 miles or 346 kilometers on a single charge, which is pretty good. From their promise to word-of-mouth marketing to the initial deliverable of the car, it's passing the eye test. That's for dang sure. It's a good-looking car. I could picture myself driving it. And it's all electric, which again, as a consumer, makes me feel great because I'm doing, quote-unquote, my part for the environment. Tesla is passing all the tests and delivering on their promises with the Tesla 3. Beautiful marketing job. And great job on the design of the car. But we've been talking the exterior of the car. Let's talk about the interior of the car. The UI that's built into their car. The buttons and functions that allow the operator of the car to make the car run is the stuff that I want to talk about. Traditionally, you have two knobs on either side of the steering wheel that are kind of behind it, which tend to control the signals, windshield wipers, headlights, cruise control, etc. It varies from car to car, but for the most part, that tends to be the case for the UI of a car. In complement to those functions, you usually have the speedometer behind the wheel, along with a gas gauge, oil gauge, temperature of the engine, etc. To the right of the wheel, you traditionally have the radio with five buttons to control those pre-programmed stations, along with the time, and as well as control the temperature for the car usually. In more advanced cars, that is also a place where you may see a map, or where you see someone talking that you're talking to on the phone, their name would pop up on that screen. But that is, for the most part, what you're faced with when it comes to the user interface of a car. Well, Tesla has taken that and completely chucked it out the window. They've taken a good chunk of that functionality and put it into one screen, which seems to be a little bit bigger than an iPad Pro, with a beautiful, minimalistic UI. It has that Apple feel to it, where the text is big and bold, with lots of white space accompanied by beautiful, simplistic icons and stunning use of color throughout. Overall, it's an attractive screen with the majority of the car functionality built right into it. It's so beautiful that you just gotta touch it and interact with it. That's a huge success when it comes to the UI of a car, especially when they're trying to introduce something new. But here I'm going to just introduce a small 1 minute clip of Elon Musk at his quote unquote launch event for Tesla, where he was explaining the Tesla 3 and what they are then doing.
Hey everyone. All right, so let's talk about what goes into making the Model 3. It starts off with design. We aimed for something that was a very simple, clean design, because the cars will be increasingly autonomous. So you won't really need to look at an instrument panel all that often. You'll be able to do whatever you want. You'll be able to watch a movie, talk to friends, go to sleep. So one of the challenges with the car was, since it is smaller than a Model S, how do we make a car that is smaller on the outside, bigger on the inside? So we took an idea from the Model X, and we turned that around, put that on the rear of the Model 3, so that you could still have a great deal of rear headroom and have this amazing view while being in a smaller car. It's actually one of the toughest design challenges of making the Model 3. And then in terms of engineering the car, we had to engineer it to be a lot easier to build. The Model S is an amazing car, but it's very hard to build. So we had to get the part count down, design it still to be light, but also to make it affordable.
So there you go. There kind of is a little bit of a brief description of Elon Musk going into the Tesla 3 and some issues that they approached and problems that they came into when trying to design the car. And what I found really interesting is, obviously, he talks about the screen, you know, and was described earlier in the UI of this tablet, essentially, that's on the dashboard. He's talking about how the goal of this car is the fact that they are going to be more and more autonomous as the years progress. So that is why the reason for having the big screen there, so you can watch movies, navigate your music, be able to kind of just do a lot of things from the screen. But that was the key. He says that they're going to be increasingly more and more autonomous. So I'm going to talk about the here and now. The Tesla 3 is not fully autonomous. I think they said it's a level 2 or level 3 of a self-driving car out of a 5 level map. It's a level 2 or a level 3. So it's not fully autonomous, which is causes for some concern. They did such a great job building the car. It's a nice looking car with a beautiful UI on this beautiful tablet screen right on the center dash. But too stinking bad, that beautiful imagery alone cannot pay the bills. And that is where the Tesla 3 falls flat on its face. The user experience is not there. They've designed for a car that they're trying to get going, say, 6 years from now. But they did not develop the UI and UX of the car for the actual functionality that the car is. It's cool to have a huge tablet and things of that nature, but the person still actually has to drive the car. They did such a good job from the marketing to the design of the physical car to the UI, but it all comes apart because a person is confused by how the car is going to function. How unfortunate. as I said, they took the majority of the functionality you need to operate a car and put it all on this tablet-like looking screen on the center of the dash. Things like the windshield wipers, windshield washer fluid, climate control, seat warmers, music, windshield defrost, volume control, battery life, side mirror control, and much more is all in this screen. The screen layout is similar to what you'd see on any normal iOS iPad app. It has what it looks like a nav at the bottom of the screen that the user would have to tap on to navigate and explore and operate the different segments of the vehicle. Please see the video of the demonstration of the Tesla 3. I'll be posting that link in the description. It is a very interesting video to watch because a representative from Tesla is walking a person through how the car works, and you can tell how overwhelmed the guy is in the driver's seat by all the new functionality that was introduced in this car. As I was watching, I was like, man, I hope that self-drive function better work because I'll be spending more time trying to navigate the UI than actually driving. The screen is supremely distracting and it would make even the simplest of operations too burdensome while being at the wheel. It's a huge safety hazard. It isn't a fully autonomous car, as I said. It still requires for you to have two hands on the wheel. Thus, it gives me cause for pause to ask, was there any UX designer during this process? Seems they hired a graphic designer and asked them to make their UI look like Apple, and that was it. Near the end of the video that I just discussed, the guy who's observing the demonstration in the driver's seat put it best. Wow, that's a lot to remember, as the Tesla rep chuckled and kept on with the demonstration. It seemed that Tesla was so desperate to reinvent the wheel that they went completely overboard and changed almost too much that it's going to, I believe, will leave their future customers at a loss when it comes to the Tesla 3 in particular. It was obvious that there was no user testing and they focused themselves on other things. The UI on the dashboard comes across just as an afterthought to the company, and it's almost unfortunate because they're going to pay for it. A designer I've come to appreciate, he's the co-host of the Design Review podcast. His name is Jonathan Shirai, and he co-wrote a book called Tragic Design, where he talks about how bad UX can lead to life-altering consequences. UX cannot be afforded to be passed off, especially in this situation where someone at the wheel having confusion over how to operate the vehicle could lead to distraction, potentially harming themselves and others. The one thing that really blew me away a lot about this demonstration as well is the navigation of music. You know, you have a search bar on the top as you would on your Apple Music app. You had a search bar at the top, or a search function, I should say, and when you tap that search function, you get a full keyboard that pops up on the screen. Talk about trying to limit distracted driving. But I'm going to pop up a huge keyboard and try to search what song I want to listen to? That is crazy to me. And again, the absence of UX in the Tesla 3 release. This is going to be I'm sure will be a fantastic design once the cars become fully autonomous. But the Tesla 3 is not fully autonomous, thus causing for dangers of safety. But I'll recap. Tesla did an amazing job with their inbound marketing. They rocked the physical design of the car, put a good effort into making sure the UI looked beautiful and made people want to touch it. But the same amount of thought wasn't put into the UX of the car itself and how someone is going to navigate the operations of that car while being at the wheel and trying to keep their eyes on the road. It's somewhat unfortunate, because Tesla and their cars have such a great potential in changing the world and being fully electric. But to be successful and to be the next innovative company, you need to pay attention to every detail to fill out the full user experience of their product, from first touch on social media to the final drive. Sadly, that comes to the end of our time, but thank you so much for tuning in. Thanks for joining me. Have yourself a great rest of your day or great rest of your week or however you are listening to this podcast. Thank you, and check you later.